Well, good morning, Coley Park Baptist Church. It's great to be with you this morning. Though in a sense, it's the worst of both worlds, isn't it? Because I don't get to see your lovely faces, but you still have to put up with mine. But we're going to be looking at Revelation 5 anyway. We're looking at Revelation 5 today, and we believe that God is still sovereign and that he still speaks. But what is our aim as we read this? Our aim is that our heart song, even in suffering, would be Jesus is worthy. Worthy of what? Worthy to unlock the meaning of history. That's where we're going today. Well, what is the meaning of history? I don't mean the facts and the figures, the events and the dates. I mean the storyline. Think of your favourite film or your favourite story. You know, don't you, as you watch that story, that everything that happens has some meaning, some purpose to it. Have you ever thought about history like that? If you had to tell the story of human history, what would the plot be? Who would be the main characters? What would happen? Well, wind back the clock with me 200 years to 1806. Napoleon has just beaten Prussia at the Battle of Jena, and the German philosopher Hegel in the 19th century said this: the history of the world reached its conclusion when Napoleon won the battle at Jena in 1806. So that's when it was, folks, the conclusion of history, as we all know. Well, maybe not. And then on the other side, on the Prussian side, a theologian called Schleiermacher said this, apparently: European civilization had reached such a state of perfection that Prussia was the kingdom of heaven. And yet today, I doubt that many of us would even be able to identify Prussia on a map. But you know what? I know that it's weird even talking like this. Who even talks like this? Around the kitchen table, we don't spend our time talking about the grand direction of history or the story of our world. The kinds of things that weigh on our minds and keep us up at night don't tend to be grand questions about the course of history. They tend to be more down-to-earth ones, don't they? More personal questions like, how will we pay our bills next month? Will I ever get a good and meaningful job? How are my kids going to turn out? Or maybe you wonder, how long will I have to suffer like this? Will there be anyone by my side when I die? Or will I die alone? Now, before you think that the meaning of history isn't relevant to you, according to this book, your personal struggles are absolutely tied in with the meaning of history. The only way, the only hope for all your troubles to be dealt with is if there's someone who can bring cosmic justice and peace. Someone in charge of history. Someone who can make everything right. The meaning of history is absolutely for suffering people. And of course it is. Because if John is talking about it, it must be relevant. Because the book of Revelation was written by a suffering man to suffering people. You see, John was all alone, exiled on a godforsaken island called Patmos. And the people he's writing to were Christians in seven churches across Turkey, where Steph and I are hoping to move next year. And these Christians were being crushed. Life was hard in general in the ancient world, but for them, they were probably living under the Emperor Domitian, the Roman Emperor Domitian, and he was a dictator. Did you know he was the first Roman emperor to call himself Dominus et Deus, Master and God? If you strolled through his cities, you'd see the propaganda everywhere. He was creating a cult of personality and he was persecuting Christians. And these Christians, they're struggling, they're suffering, they're wondering how they're going to survive. Question: when God sees that, what does he do? Answer: he ushers John into heaven. Revelation 5, John is given a vision of heaven. Why? To peel back the curtain, to see what is going on, the true unseen reality behind all this chaos on earth. To see things from the control room of the universe, the throne room of God. Now level with me here. Our world has just been brought to its knees by an unprecedented disease, coronavirus. Our town, Reading, has just been rampaged by a knife-wielding terrorist. Don't you need the perspective of heaven on all this chaos? If that's you, as I suspect it is for me too, then come with me and with John on this vision of heaven, and we'll see the problem, the solution, and the result. Firstly, the problem. So John sees in his vision God the Father sitting on the throne, but he's got a scroll in his hand, and the problem starts there. But what is that scroll all about anyway? It gets repeated time and time again. They're constantly talking about this scroll. Well, the rest of Revelation makes clear that this scroll is the plan of human history. It's the storyline of everything that's going to happen, the most important things, and how everything will be resolved in the end. The scroll has also been called the title deeds of the universe. What does that mean? Well, just after the beginning of lockdown, Steph and I, my wife and I, bought our first little home in Reading. And we, with, I will say, had a lot of help from other family members. But we had to sign this very exciting little document, which you probably can't see from there. But it's called a title deed. And as we signed our names, because it had our names on it, it means that we partially own this little plot of land in Reading on planet Earth. But the question we're asking this morning is, whose name is on the title deeds of the universe? Who can open this scroll? And this title deed is rolled up as a scroll. And more than that, after it's rolled up, it's sealed with not one, two, or three, but seven seals. And then we see the angel, the mighty angel, put down the challenge. He makes a cosmic announcement to all creation. It's like he's using the heavenly sound system, the speaker system, and it's ringing out to all corners of the universe. And he's saying, who is worthy? Whoever has the authority to unfold the plan of history, come forward now. And down the ages, so many have considered themselves worthy, haven't they? Emperor Domitian thought he was worthy. Hegel thought Napoleon was worthy. Schleiermacher thought his nation was worthy. But don't our politicians today think the same? Donald Trump says he'll make America great again. And even Barack Obama, listen to what he said when he became president. I want to heal America and repair the world. One African-American responded, one wonders what Obama will do for an encore and whether he will rest on the seventh day. Is Obama worthy to open the scroll? And yet in the drama of our passage after this announcement goes out to all creation, verse 3 says, no one was found in heaven or on earth or under the earth who was worthy to open the scroll or even look inside. Picture that scene with me. The cosmic search goes out for the worthy one. All the eyes look to Emperor Domitian, the strong man. But he just looks down to the ground, unworthy. We turn to Napoleon, but he's covering his head in shame, not worthy. The eyes turn to Obama, but he backs away, shaking his head. We look at Donald Trump and he's on his knees shaking, unworthy. Not one is worthy to open a scroll. Not one is worthy to be lord over history. And as you look at the crowd of all humanity in this scene, there is absolute silence. Apart from one thing. The one thing you can hear is the violent weeping and wailing of John. This is the problem. The weeping man. John weeps and weeps that no one's worthy to unlock the meaning of history. And can I say, if you're not a Christian, then this is the verdict for you. A universe without Christ is one where death rules and cancer reigns. If there's no one worthy, then my friend, weep. Without Jesus, death has the final word. There's no hope, only despair. That is the problem, the weeping man. But secondly, the solution. Verse 5, one of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Ah, friends, if there was ever something to rejoice over, if there was ever something to end cosmic weeping, it is this. There is one who is Lord over history, who holds the keys to history, and who owns the title deeds of everything that is. And his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that lion who smashes God's enemies, who wins victory, and who defeats death. But then something a bit weird happens. John hears about this lion, but as he turns to look, he doesn't actually see that, does he? What does he see? He sees a lamb. Now, it's not one of those cuddly little farmyard lambs either. This is a weird-looking, ferocious lamb. It's got seven horns and seven eyes and sevenfold spirits. Now remember, in Revelation, this is picture language. Seven pictures perfection. Horns picture power. So put these things together and this lamb is perfectly powerful. He's omnipotent. He's perfectly seeing. He's omniscient. And with that sevenfold spirit, he's perfectly present. He's omnipresent. Now that is someone who is worthy. The solution is the worthy lamb. Okay, so if he's not called a lamb because he's soft and cuddly, then why is he called a lamb? Well, for Jews, what does a lamb mean? Lambs mean sacrifice. Jesus is the lamb because he sacrificed himself as a lamb to the slaughter. He's the Lamb of God because he takes away the sins of the world. This worthy lamb deals with the deepest problem in human history, our sin, and that's why he's worthy. If you're not a Christian, can I ask you, do you have a hope this good? Do you know such a one as this? Have you ever heard such good news? Then why not turn around and run to Jesus today? He'll deal with your sin and guarantee your future with him. And you'll find that as you come to the sacrificial lamb who died for you, he'll be a lion for you. And Christians at Coley, do you realise how good your hope is? You have a lion in heaven. Don't weep as if there's no hope. This lion will hunt down all your sorrows. He'll ferociously defend you because he's the lamb who died for you. So rejoice. We've seen the problem. We've seen the solution. The weeping man and the worthy lamb. But finally, the result. Now, do you ever wonder what you'll be doing in eternity in the new creation. Like, what will we be singing about? Will we remember our old lives here on earth? Well, did you notice the song in verse 9? It tells us the answer. The song they sing says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." So, Cody Park, did you know that in heaven, we will still be singing about the cross? Isn't that incredible? All those events that happened in Jerusalem will still be the stories that we tell our grandchildren. They'll be the song that we sing in worship. So let me ask you, do you have a big enough view of the cross? Do you have a high enough view of the cross? We'll still be singing about it for all eternity. That's how much it matters. So does it consume your day here on earth? Why not stop right now and worship the Lamb? Why not marvel right now at the sheer scale of what our Lamb did and accomplished for us? This is the reaction, the response is this song of heaven. We've seen the first song, the first ring of heaven. But now we see the next ring and they have another song. And this ring is thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." But that's not it. The third ring includes all creation. Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Isn't that beautiful? Here are these people of all races, of all nations, of all languages. And there's no racism of any kind. There's no more protests, no more terrorist stabbings like in Fulbury Park. Only joy and peace and worship. Thirdly, the worshipping crowd. That's the reaction of all creation, or it should be. So are you part of that worshipping crowd? Will you join them in that worship of Jesus? All you have to do is trust him, that Lamb who died for his people. And so when you're around the kitchen table, and when you're lying in bed awake at night, and you're thinking about those questions, you're thinking, how will we pay our bills next month? And you're worried about your kids, and you're suffering that pain again and again, and you feel like life is passing you by, look to Jesus. He is worthy. He is the one that all creation was always about. He's the one who splits all of history in two. And one day, his people will be gathered round his throne, singing his praises forever. We've seen the problem, the solution, and the reaction, the result. The weeping man, the worthy lamb, and the worshipping crowd. So let's worship Jesus this week. Worship him in prayer. Worship him in song. And let's worship him in our everyday life, because he is worthy.